verse 1 through 4. Warning labels. We see them all the time. Your car has a check engine light on. That means something's not operating properly. And there's other signals in your car that would tell you something's not going just right. If the oil light comes on, it's too late. Just tell you that. Right, Brother Paul? If the oil light comes on, it's probably too late. It's going to cost you something. Chemical bottles have warning labels on it. Matter of fact, Ethan and I were driving yesterday, and I have a hand sanitizer bottle inside my truck. He picked it up. First thing he reads is, do not drink. Kind of a warning label on it. Yeah, don't drink. Machinery. Always wondered about machinery, though. You know, when your lawnmower, it says, you know, right there with a blade, and you have the little flap down, and it says, do not stick hands in here while blade is turning. You know somebody at one time said, I wonder if I can sharpen the blade while it's turning. Warning labels. They're all over the place, and they're for our own good. Man, do you know the very first verse of chapter 2 in Hebrews gives us a warning? And through the book of Hebrews, there's about 5 warnings. So what we're really talking about this morning is Christ, but there's coming with a warning for us. There's a warning for us that we don't drift away. You see, I firmly believe in perseverance of the saints. Old Baptists like to call it, once saved, always saved. Well, you have to be saved first. You see, you can't just walk an aisle, shake the hand with the preacher, get baptized, and go off and do what you want to do in 6 months from now. No, that's not persevering. That's trampling over the grace of God. There's no salvation in that. Perseverance of the saints means that you start out with Christ and you finish with Christ. And the writer of Hebrews is warning us, don't drift away. Have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Title of this message this morning, it would be, pay closest attention to Jesus. Pay the closest attention of all the things in your life. Pay the closest attention to Jesus. R.C. Sproul, in his last sermon in 2017 on this earth, the very last statement, he says this, I pray with all my heart that God will awaken each one of us today to the sweetness, the loveliness, the glory of the gospel declared by Christ. You see, too often we forget who we serve. We just get busy. Life just happens. Over in chapter 1, we didn't find a warning label. There was no warning in chapter 1 of Hebrews. Matter of fact, it gave us a lot of information, a lot of understanding of who Christ is. Matter of fact, over in verse 1, it says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. Oh, you see today, the first command of Hebrews is not that we labor for Jesus, but that we listen to him. The very first command in Hebrews chapter 2 is that we listen to Jesus. So we read together, verse 1 through verse 4. For this reason, what reason is that? all the things that were named in chapter 1. For this reason, or your scripture may say, therefore, we must pay much closer attention. Now, probably the writer of Hebrews understated that. It should be the closest attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable, every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, your word speaks so strongly to us. God, there are so many people who are professing Christians who've grown so comfortable that they begin to drift away. Oh, Father, today, wake us up. Turn the tide of the currents in our lives. Lord, that we have a spiritual awakening today, the great revival, that we come running back to you. Speak through us through your word, God. Holy Spirit, move freely in your congregation today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have a warning in Hebrews. Pay closest attention and do not, for the first thing, do not drift away. Do not drift away from the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. Verse 1, for this reason, or therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. The phrase for this reason, or therefore, links the previous information given in chapter 1 to the warning the author now gives. We must pay closest attention to what we have heard. What is it that we've heard? I don't know if you remember all the things from last Sunday, of all the things that we know about Christ and the Sunday before that. So let's give a small remembrance lesson. We see in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, and in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. We have heard that Jesus is the heir of all things. Jesus is the Son of God, which means he is the Creator. We have heard that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and an exact representation of his being, which means he is God. We've heard Jesus sustains all things by his powerful word, which means it is the providence of Jesus which upholds, sustains, and rules all things. We've heard Jesus' purification for our own sins, which means he gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. We've heard Jesus sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven, which means he is king on the throne with all power, authority, and rule. We've heard Jesus is better than the angels, which means he is better than all celestial beings, all prophets and all the fathers of the faith, all sacrifices and anything created. Jesus is greater. Therefore, chapter 2 begins, since we know these things, since we've heard these things, since we've believed these things, for this reason, we must pay utmost, closest attention to what we have heard. You see, God has spoken his last word in Christ Jesus. In Christ, we have everything. He should be of utmost importance in our life. We're warned in this verse 1, do not drift away. Take heed. We're warned about drifting from the Word. If we do not pay closest attention to God's Word and apply it to our life, this slow fade begins. Have you found that you're just drifting in your spiritual life? That love that you once had for Jesus Christ is not as intense, and it's you're really not on fire for Christ. You're just doing things, and life has really swept you away. You begin to get concerned about this and that over there, and the things that you once held as a vital part of your walk with Christ just seem to fade. You see, drifting is a slow movement, really, that we hardly notice. Kind of like a leaf floating along on a gentle current of a bayou or river. The movement is a slow drift until it fades away out of sight. So many people who have professed Christ. There's a difference between professing Christ or professing faith and possession of faith. Big difference. See, many have drifted away, leaving the Word of God, losing interest in godly things and becoming lax and lethargic in faith. It doesn't happen all at once. It's just a slow drift. Little by little, day by day, week by week, month by month. You started out here. Now you're over here. And you know it. You know that you've been spiritually drifting away from God. Your devotion and your Bible reading gets crowded out by other cares in the world. Your prayer life becomes shallow, and your time with God and communicating with Him rarely happens anymore. Matter of fact, if it does happen, you just go through an old prayer that you've probably repeated many, many times, just out of memory. Nothing here. No intensity. No expectation. No exaltation of God. It's just words that don't go past the ceiling. You realize, after a few months, just how far you've drifted. You look back at your life, and there you've got all these things that's going on, but you realize that your time with God is nothing anymore. And sin for you doesn't seem so bad anymore. Even coming to worship with God's people really has lost its appeal. You start basing your church attendance on how well the band plays, or if there's all kind of entertainment going on, or how long the preacher preaches. I don't like all that shouting. I like somebody just to talk to me. You see? We start gauging worship by us rather than making worship about God. Man, listen, I know we're in COVID, and I want people to protect themselves. If you're sick, stay home. If you don't feel safe, stay home. But there's a lot of people who are just staying home. The whole purpose and reason that we've been filming our services for several years before COVID ever happened is that when you're away, you can still have church with your family. It's meant to be a temporary thing, not a permanent way of life. You see, there are many people who like to stay home because now they can get up and drink coffee and watch the band and hear a little music and maybe hum along with it and hear a little message, and man, they're gone. After that, that's fine. They go get dressed and they're free for the day. Drifting. See, at first, a lot of times people stay at home, and man, they have all good intentions. They're really consistent about tuning into a service and maybe several services. But then you've got new habits on Sunday morning. Family's coming over, saying, "Oh, well, I cook now. Man, it's duck season. We go duck hunting. It's deer season. Let's go deer hunting. Well, man, they got a sale going over at the store. Let's take off." Just drifting. Now, it's not a sudden rebellion against God. It's just drifting away. You didn't really mean to stop gathering with God's people. You simply allow the currents of other things in life to slowly pull you away. Do you find that you have been drifting? Listen, you're in danger. You're in danger. There's a warning in God's Word. Too many Christians today take the Word of God for granted and they neglect it. And their prayer life is and consistent participation in worship and discipleship and service fades. Listen, all Christians, all of us have felt the drift. At some point in our life, at some time, we've all just kind of gotten numb in a rut because Satan is pounding on us. Those who are true believers, who are born again, sense this emptiness, sense this longing to be with God. The Holy Spirit urges us to get back in the presence of God. Get back in fellowship with other believers. Get back to His Word. Get back to our prayer life. The Holy Spirit is always urging us to wake up from our spiritual drift. Listen, a believer will always return quickly to pursuing Christ. We all have drifted. But the Holy Spirit wakes us up. We must pay more careful attention to what we've heard. It should be the utmost in Christ in our life. Not just something we do on Sunday, but our daily life is sold out for Jesus. Is Jesus your utmost this morning? Or would you say that you've been drifting? Just drifting. Remember the original audience that the writer of Hebrews addressed. These were Jewish Christians. And they were being persecuted by the other Christians around, the Jews, not by other Christians, but by the Jews, to leave their Christian faith. And many were walking away from what they've heard about Jesus and say that they believed. They were returning back to Judaism. Are you returning back to the old life that you knew before Jesus? Because really, maybe you just put it to the side and you've never been regenerated. You've never been changed. You've never been spiritually alive. You just started doing church.
Listen, Christian, today, Christ is calling you back into the way. The second thing we see in this passage is how will we escape? If we're drifting away and we say no to the great salvation in Christ, and that's what drifting really is doing, it's making nothing and making a mockery of the of what Christ has done for us. He says, how will we escape? So what if we're drifting? It may seem harmless, really. Yet verse 3 indicates that the drifting away actually involves salvation. He says, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation in Christ? Hebrews is talking about salvation in Jesus Christ. The purification of sins that Jesus provided once for all time is being ignored by people who say they are believers, who say they are Christians. What Jesus did on the cross and the grace that he provides to, just trampling over it. Now, we're not outright saying, oh, Jesus, I don't believe, but our actions say differently. Our mindset says differently. See, the writer of Hebrews is encouraging Christians to pay attention to the great salvation in Jesus. Don't drift away. That's what God's word is crying out to us, even warning us. Don't ignore such a great salvation in Jesus. It's probably not a deliberate decision when we drift. You know, you're not adamantly rejecting Jesus and his salvation. We're really not in rebellion against the Bible. Just ignoring it. We're ignoring salvation in Jesus. We're neglecting Jesus and drifting away by apathy. What does drifting away from Jesus look like? As we drift from the Word, we lose our love for the Lord. We smother our enthusiasm for the faith. We stop fellowshipping with believers. I hear people say this all the time, and it's so stupid. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. No, but if you're a Christian, you'll want to. That's trying to justify being rebellious against God. That's trying to justify drifting. Because, God, we'll read it further down in Hebrews in a few Sundays where the writer of Hebrews says, you know, fail not to assemble yourselves, or some are in the habit of doing. But all the more, as you see the day approaching, we should want to be together. And today you find Christian people who are professing Christians who just don't want to go to church. Drifting. So we begin to even doubt God's word. We become lazy listeners. This is what Jesus called those who are dull of hearing in Matthew chapter 13, verse 14 and 15. Jesus says, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return. And I would heal them. See, we start out. We start to get these hard hearts.
And this leads to spiritual sluggishness as we drift away. The next step is this toxic attitude toward the Word of God to the extent that we willfully disobey Him. That we willfully sin. That we willfully go out and do things that God says, do not do. Because our hearts have grown so calloused and hard from our drifting. As Christians drift, listen, God continues to hold Christ in front of us. He constantly sends reminders in various ways through His Holy Spirit of who Jesus is and of who we are to Him. And His children, God will discipline His children. Hebrews 12 verse 6 says that the Lord disciplines those He loves. Listen, if you're a child of God and you're drifting, watch out. Watch out. God will give you exactly what you want. He'll let your life become a mess. A mess. He'll discipline you right back. Listen to Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verse 2, about the discipline in the Old Testament. It says, but if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, verse 3, catch this, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If the Old Testament, God held them accountable to the law and held them accountable for their disobedience, and then we say Christ is greater than all of that, how much greater, if we neglect salvation, will our punishment be? Too much is given, much is required. Christians today are living like, oh, we're under a time of grace. Grace that sustains us so that we may live for Christ, not drift. Grace that sustains us to live for Christ, not do our own thing. And that's where some, listen, I'm going to pick on us, we as Southern Baptists. I'm not going to pick on anybody else. I'm going to pick on us. We have neglected that. And we have gone to a cliche of, well, saved, always saved. And we tell our relatives, once saved, always saved. And preachers tell people, once saved, always saved. You don't know if that person was saved to start off with. And now you've given them false hope. That they believe that whatever they do, they're good. That they can go out there and live the same old life they used to. Well, I'm under the grace and I'm saved. You don't know if they were saved. Because a saved person regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God is a new creation, a new person. And if they come to church for 6 months and they're right back out into the world, they were never saved. And you need to hear that. I firmly believe when a person is regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God and they profess their faith in Him and they have that faith in them and they repent of their sins, they're born again, they're saved, they're brand new. The Holy Spirit fills them and dwells them and gives them power and strength to live for Christ. Listen, they may go out a little while, but they're going to come back. They're going to... That straight and narrow path, they may slip here or there, but they're still on the path. They persevere to the very end. We need to understand Scripture and quit giving people false hope that they can walk the aisle for shake the hand of a preacher and get wet in the baptistry and they can live like they want. Twenty plus years of ministry, I've done a lot of funerals, and I've said this many times because it's just a reality. Everybody thinks their loved one goes to heaven. When the word says, narrow is the gate and narrow is the way. I've had people that live like the devil I've done funerals for. And everybody speaks highly of them, which I appreciate that. But never about a soul. Well, you know, I hope God lets them in. Listen, if you won't live for Jesus, you won't die for him either. So, Brother Kevin, this is a hard message. Yeah, it is. But I like what, in that very first verse of chapter 2, the very first line, it says, but for this reason, we. See, the author of Hebrews includes himself in this. This pastor has to include himself in this. That we're all in this together. You see, in the Old Testament, there was just punishment for violations of disobedience. As a matter of fact, in Exodus 32, 3,000 Israelites were killed when they built and worshipped a golden calf. I wonder how many people who profess to be Christians today, if this was applied, would be killed because their golden calf is football. Or basketball, or baseball, or fishing, or hunting, or their family, or their spouse. See, also, when the Israelites rebelled after report, and they were coming out of Egypt, and they go into the wilderness, and they're headed to the promised land, the spies go over to look at Canaan land, and they came back, those 12 spies, And only Joshua and Caleb said, hey, we can take them, guys. Let's get it. And the other 10 came back and says, oh, no, they're giants. We can't do it. And everybody believed the 10 rather than the 2. You know what God's punishment was? You're going to wander 40 years in the wilderness. And not only that, he let everyone over 20 years old, die in the wilderness. And he just took those young ones in who trusted him. If that's what God would do for those who disobeyed him, who did not fulfill and pursue him, but drifted away, how much greater accountability do we have? Because we have Christ and we neglect him. See, and yet in Christ Jesus we've been given much greater revelation than was given to the people in the Old Testament. Hebrews tells us that if the sins of the people in the Old Covenant revelation were punished, how much more severely will the punishment be for the rebellion against the Son of God? Verse 3 says, how shall we escape? If we ignore such a great salvation, how shall we escape? And honest truth is, there is no escape. You ignore Jesus Christ and you live for yourself, or you live for your family, you live for your kids, you live for somebody else or something else, and you ignore Jesus, you ignore the salvation, you drift away. You can't escape the wrath of God. You can't escape the judgment. Because you've ignored the only means God has given to us for salvation. You didn't endure
You didn't persevere to the end. You drifted away.
See, there was no escape for punishment if the original audience that the writer of Hebrews wrote to, if they left the Christian faith and returned to Judaism. He's saying, there's nothing I can do for you. What's at stake is that people who profess to be Christians demonstrate a despising attitude toward Christ Jesus by drifting away. If we ignore or neglect Jesus, listen, we're despising the salvation He offers. And all who do will drift away from the Word into eternity with their sin. You reject Jesus. You neglect Jesus Christ. You just live for yourself out there, even though you come to church, even though you sing the songs, even though you hear this message. You just drift. You're not enduring for Christ. Don't neglect so great a salvation in Jesus. If we choose not to live for Christ, pattern our daily life after Him, consider Him, and fix our eyes on Him, then we're scorning His importance to us. Listen, I'm not talking to the people who are sick at home, those traveling, those who fear they're senior adults and they're just not ready to come back because of church life. But if you just don't want to go to church, man, that's just one more step in fading. That's just one more step in drifting. If you don't want to associate with the very people that are going to be in heaven, are we scorning His importance of worshiping Him? And that's what happens. See, the only reason someone regards something else as more important than Jesus, catch this, and this is hard. The only reason that someone would scorn Jesus and count something else as more important than Him is they're just simply not saved. Because they'll keep drifting. And they'll keep drifting. Because Jesus is not that important, they'll keep drifting. Till the end of life. And they face the wrath and the judgment of God. Oh, today, church, we have to wake up. See, one of the characteristics, and then catch this, because we need it right now. One of the characteristics that distinguish a believer from a non-believer, one who's regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, he's born again, is that you have a new nature that regards Christ as supremely valuable. Is that you regard Christ. See, your old nature won't do that. Your old nature will regard you as being most valuable. The new nature in Christ regards Christ as being most valuable. The mark of a true child of God is that he does not drift for long. We're all guilty of drifting, including me. But when the Holy Spirit of God gets a hold of you, it's amazing you don't drift for long. You realize the passion. You realize the desire you have for Christ. And you return back to Him. In repentance like the prodigal son. He came to himself in that pig pen. And he dropped what he was doing. He jumped over that fence. And he began heading home. Listen, when you are born again in Christ Jesus, when you realize the message you're in, you go back home to Christ. The drifting ends. If you're drifting this morning, one of the signs of hope is that you are born again, is that you feel pricked in your heart about the drifting away. Is that right now you actually say, listen, I know, God, I've done this. Lord, this is where I'm at right now. The Holy Spirit of God is bringing you back. He's awakening your mind and your heart. You feel pricked in your heart for drifting. You have an awakened desire in your heart to turn your focus on Jesus and listen to Him, follow Him, and grow more like Him. You sense this urgency to exalt Jesus and repent and make much of Christ. One of the signs that you may not be born again is that you hear what the Word says and you have no desire to guard against drifting. Your heart has become hardened, calloused. Verse 3 and 4 says, after it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and by various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His will. Well, you see, God has done everything to show us Jesus. Signs, wonders, miracles, His Word, His Spirit, all of this to bring you to salvation, to show you how much He loves you, to point and exalt Christ Jesus. If you're drifting, He's calling you home. See, we have so great a salvation. Don't drift away. We have so great a salvation in Jesus Christ. Don't drift. Or you'll find yourself in a place where there's no escape. No escape from the wrath of God. Oh, what a hard message. Oh, what an eye-opening message. Oh, what message to remind us not to be lazy in our walk with God. Not to take it for granted. Not just to say, well, I'm saved and everything's okay, and you just drift like a leaf on a river. And there's no desire to be more Christ-like. You're just doing life. Whatever comes, whatever currents come along in society, and you follow it. Today, come back. Come back in repentance. Listen, Pastor Brian's going to come and just lead it in a little song. And this altar is open. Christian, maybe you've been drifting. Maybe you've been out there. And God's calling you back. Maybe today you realize that you've never given your life to Christ. And you may have gone through some things. You may have done some religious ceremonies. But you know in your heart, Christ is not king of your life. Maybe today you need to give your life to Jesus. So Brother Gavin, how do I do that? You repent of your sins. It's just between you and God. He knows where you've been, what you've done. It's simple. Lord, I'm a sinner. You know all the sins I've committed. I place my faith in You today as Savior. And I invite You to live and to guide me for the rest of my life. And I will follow You. I claim what You did on Calvary's cross for myself. Wash me clean. Thank You, Lord, for saving me.
follow you for the rest of my days. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, there's someone here who's right now, as we're closing this, they're praying. In their own words, they're just calling out to you to save them. And they're repenting of the sins, God. You already know what the sins. They're just agreeing. Yes, Lord, I repent. I turn away from you. God, today there's some Christians here. There's some people who love you. Call them out. Bring them back. Stir that fire in them that they once had. God, we're crying out for revival, God. It starts with your spirit and a willingness heart, a broken heart that's willing to hear from you. May we be broken of our sin. May we be broken of our laziness and our turning away, just ignoring you. Stir fresh in you in us today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together this morning.